So the great charge that you'll hear people make today is that the Bible is irrelevant. That it has nothing to say to modern 21st century life. So you don't even need to engage anymore in what the Bible says. It's just, it's from the past. You know, it's from a land where there were swords and sandals. What on earth does it say to us? We're scientific people. But our response, as people of the Word of God, is to say that that is exactly backwards. That is 180 degrees wrong. Because it is the Bible that is truly relevant to life today. For all of us. For everyone. In fact, it is only the Bible that can truly help us with what's wrong with us. Truly, only the Bible can help us. Well, this morning, as we look at the book of the prophet Jeremiah, I want to continually come back to this. How relevant Jeremiah is for us today. And indeed all of Scripture. The Bible is not a dead, stuck in the past book. It is a living, speaking word. A powerful word from God to us. Have you ever felt broken? Maybe broken spiritually or emotionally? Maybe because of sin or because of a betrayal? Jeremiah is the book for you. Are you worried about where our society is going? Do you think something's broken? Something's gone wrong? Jeremiah is the book for you. Have you ever asked, how can you really know what's true? Who can you trust? Who's telling you the truth in this age of alternative facts and post-truth? Jeremiah is the book for you. Have you ever looked for hope when everything around you seemed hopeless? Well, Jeremiah is the book for you. What can we say as an introduction? Well, the book of Jeremiah itself is huge. It is actually, with the biggest word count, the longest book in the Bible. It is about the ministry of Jeremiah, who was called to be a prophet of the Lord, which means really he's a special envoy who speaks for God, who acts for God and brings his message to the world. And it begins with his calling as a young man, maybe even as a teenager in chapter 1. All the way to 70 years later, at the end of chapter 52, when he would have been an old man. And that spans, if it helps you to think of it, roughly from 627 BC to around 560 BC. And some of that information's in the bulletin. And the key event at the heart of the book and of Jeremiah's life is that in 586 BC, the Babylonian Empire, which was the world's superpower, invaded, conquered, destroyed Jerusalem. The king taken into slavery, the people scattered, a few survivors taken away as slaves to Babylon. It suffered there for a generation. And so Jeremiah lived through that tumultuous time when governments are changing and everything seemed to be up in the air. It's impossible, isn't it, to do justice to this huge book in one sermon. So instead, let me try and sum up for you the three big themes of Jeremiah. And we're going to do so by looking at three prophetic signs, three actions that God told Jeremiah to do that then really picture what his whole ministry and the whole book is about. They'll help explain his message. Let me sum all of that up under three words, three titles that get to the heart of Jeremiah. Brokenness, battle, and branch. It's about brokenness. It's about a broken people who break everything. It's about a battle for the truth. Who can you trust not to break their promises? And finally, it's about branch, the hope of a new branch who will not break. So the first thing to try to open up to you, and again, all of this is in the hope that you'll grab hold of Jeremiah yourself. You'll read it. You'll study it. You'll get into God's word. Jeremiah is about brokenness. It's about the brokenness of a people who break everything. The first sign I want us to consider is the one you heard about in chapter 19. On that day, God told Jeremiah to get together the leaders of Israel, of Jerusalem. And in front of them, he was to get a clay pot, a flask, and they would go to go outside, and he would smash it on the ground in front of them, shattered into hundreds of tiny pieces that couldn't be put back together, completely broken. And then there's this ominous word. God says the meaning of the sign is that that is how broken the people of Judah will be. They're going to be smashed. They're going to be broken, seemingly beyond repair. Their nation will be thrown up and cast to the ground. And of course, that's a sign of the coming invasion and exile in Babylon. Now that sign sums up the ministry of Jeremiah. If you flick through chapters 1 to 45, so that's the bulk of the book, it is a series of messages from God speaking about this judgment that's coming. And terrifyingly, that what God sends Jeremiah to say is that it's too late. Nothing can stop it now. There's no repentance. There's no turning back. God has now unleashed judgment. They're going to be destroyed. Jeremiah is a hard book to listen to. It is a dark message of judgment. It's his warning to the world that God, his patience with sin does not last forever. God does judge and punish evil. And Jeremiah himself is just broken by the burden of this message. He's known as the weeping prophet. He didn't want to preach this. No preacher does. And he loved his people. That's why, for example, he says in 9:17, "My soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive." But the broken pot also symbolizes how broken the people already are. They are already spiritually and morally deeply broken. And that's why judgment is coming. And you could sum that up by saying they are a people who break everything. They break everything good. They break all the rules. And most of all, they break their covenant with God. There's a verse in chapter 5, verse 5 that sums this up. It says, "These have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds." So first they've broken the yoke. Now that means they've broken their covenant with God. Now a yoke, like, you know, once upon a time would have been put on cattle around its neck. Well, in Bible times, that's a way of speaking about covenants. To make a covenant with someone was to bind yourself to someone with firm promises and oaths that you'd be as one together, to do each other good, to be loyal to each other. Nations could have covenants, peoples would have covenants, and Judah had this covenant with God. God had yoked himself to them. He had promised that they were his chosen, his special people. He would love them, he would bless them, he'd do good to them. He says to them, "I will be your God." And they in turn promise to be his people, to worship him, to love him, to keep his commandments and to serve him. This special relationship, the true special relationship. But they broke it. And this had gone on by Jeremiah's time for many centuries, that the people kept turning to the worship of pagan gods. And so the Lord says, as he says in 2:11, "Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. And it was like the breaking up of a marriage. This was a bitter, a painful betrayal to the Lord who had loved them and done so much good to them. And so they'd burst the bonds. They'd broken this relationship with God. And then secondly, it says, they burst the bonds. Now this is crucial. The Lord teaches us that life is all about bonds, binding commitments that we make to other people. And these bonds are like invisible chains on all of us, made out of loyalty and love. This is how God's designed life to work. They're like binding connections to other people's, a kind of glue that actually will help life to flourish and to be at peace. So they stop you living selfishly for selfish pleasure. It's the vows, the promises that you make to church. It's the bonds of marriage and family. It's the bonds of being a good neighbour, to do justly to your neighbour, to love your neighbour and be fair to them and good to them. It's the bond between the ruler and the ruled, that he will protect and govern wisely and they will obey and uphold him. It's the bond between a boss and an employee, that there'll be a fair wage for a proper day's work. So there's these invisible bonds that hold all of life together. And in Jeremiah's time, all those bonds were being broken. Everybody just living for the individual. Number one, I, me, and self. So the marriage bond burst apart by whatever kind of free and easy liaison you wanted. The bond of love for neighbour, for society, gone. Jeremiah told them that the rich were exploiting the poor. Everyone's just out on the take. That bond of honesty burst apart. Just say whatever you want to get ahead. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have grown fat. They are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy they do not defend. Should I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And crucially, as a nation, they broke the bonds on them. They had an alliance with other countries, with Babylon, to pay taxes, to give them military support. And they broke it. And that's why Babylon invades. So does that give you a picture of the kind of climate of what's going on in Jeremiah's time? People who were breaking everything will themselves be broken. In 422, God calls them his silly children who have no understanding. Our children have been blessed with so many wonderful toys that friends have donated and given them. But as a parent, you know what kids do, don't you? They abuse the gifts you give them, and they tend to throw them around and they break. Don't treat them right. So what do? You take those toys away. God had blessed his people in this covenant with a land, a temple, protection and peace. And they just abused and squandered all this wealth. So God's going to take it away. And they're off into exile. Now, is the Bible relevant? Jeremiah is teaching us something profound about sin. What do we mean about sin? Sin is ignoring or breaking those bonds that are on you. God hates disloyalty, faithlessness, promise breaking. This gets to the very heart of sin that enrages God. When you break a promise, when you break someone's trust, or you abandon someone, whether that be with God as your creator, or if a man neglects or abandons his children or family, if a boss doesn't pay a fair wage, or a society doesn't care for every member, or a government tells lies or breaks its promises, this is serious sin to God that will provoke his judgment. Is the Bible irrelevant? Look at the brokenness of our society. We do not live in a good time. We do not live in a time of light and of spirituality and of good morality. We are a deeply broken society and people. Couldn't you say about how life is today that we are bursting all bonds? We are in today the same fearful state as Judah was. There's the same ingratitude to God for all the blessings that we've known. The bonds of family and marriage are just being blown apart, aren't they? For the first time just a few years ago, it was registered, wasn't it, on the census that there are now more children growing up outside of marriage than there are within marriage. There's promiscuity, there's faithlessness, absent fathers. Look at the greed and the injustice. All the scandals amongst the powerful over the last few years. Look at how fractured and divided our society is, how bitter. Look at what's going on in America. How polarized everything is. We're breaking apart. Look at how people don't keep the vows and promises they make. Look at the filth that is just accepted now as the mainstream in entertainment. Just look at the lies amongst politicians and whoever. We're broken just like Jeremiah, and this is our problem, this sin that we are not right with God. And Jeremiah is saying to us, there will be a consequence. There will be a judgment from God. There'll be war or poverty or trouble, an eternal condemnation. We need to hear Jeremiah today because he's going to expose and confront our brokenness and challenge us about our sin. And he'll expose that wound. He's going to expose the terrible state of our time and our hearts. So there is this ongoing, history has moved on, but we haven't, the ongoing problem of our human brokenness and sin. So that then brings you to the second big theme of Jeremiah, the battle for the truth. Who can you trust to not break their word? You see, throughout the book, there's a battle between Jeremiah and other prophets. Both claimed to be speaking for God. And the people had to choose who's really telling the truth. So the second prophetic sign to point out to you is found in chapters 27 and 28, if you want to look at it sometime. And this is the sign of the yoke. It really sums up the battle Jeremiah had. Jeremiah was told to put a yoke on his own neck. And again, it was a sign to the people. You're going to be made slaves. And then one day, as he's in worship with this, rebuking all the people, another prophet steps up, takes it off his shoulders, and he breaks it. And he says, I've got a new word. It's all sunshine and rainbows from here. God's going to bless us. It's just going to be prosperity and peace. We're the special chosen people. Judgment's not coming. All is well. You're okay. I'm okay. Don't listen to Jeremiah always going on about sin. Isn't he miserable? Jeremiah, he's like that guy stood on the street corner with the sign. He's a bit of a crackpot. You don't listen to him. God's with us. All is well. And then God sends Jeremiah to say, actually, if you broke the yoke of wood, I'm going to make it a yoke of iron. Judgment is coming. You see, the other prophets all had these positive, upbeat messages. Jeremiah always speaking about sin and the fear of God. It was an unpopular message. So who was right? Again, do you see how relevant that is for us? We live in the age of spin, advertising, political campaigns. We are constantly being bombarded with different voices, all promising us peace and prosperity. Just like the false prophets, these big promises. Oh, listen to us and we'll make everything right. But they're empty. They are false promises. There's the false promise today of materialism. It says to you, what you really need to be happy is just more and more stuff. If you have more money or a nicer house, that's going to fix everything. And we're in this mad dash, aren't we, as a materialistic society to just constantly go out and spend. Or there's the false promise of science, which for all its wonderful benefits, it can't fix the human heart. It can't change that we're sinful. It's the false promise of atheism and secularism that says, look, to really be happy and free, we need to get rid of God. Let's get rid of God, that will liberate us. But what Jeremiah would say to us is that all those false promises of happiness without God are actually only going to enslave us. Now, I'm deadly serious about this. Our call as Christians is sometimes to be the stick in the mud, the crackpot on the corner, the fly in the ointment. Willing to stand up like Jeremiah and say, hear the word of the Lord. Sin is the problem. Judgment is coming. And that is the truth we must not be afraid to say to 21st century people. Jeremiah suffered because he was faithful to the truth. All the people and the powerful turn on him. At least 5 times in the book, he speaks about his life being in danger. Chapter 20 says he was put in the stocks, publicly humiliated, shamed. Chapter 37 tells us he was imprisoned in a dungeon. In chapter 38, he's thrown into a well, which is dry, so he's up to his neck in mud, left there to die. And yet he stayed faithful to what God was saying. Let me say to you in all seriousness, those times might well be on us as Christians again. When as God's people, we might have to suffer for the truth. England has a long history of persecuting Christians. We've been blessed with several centuries of peace and prosperity. But we need to recognize the signs of the time. The question facing us as Christians is, are we willing to be faithful and to suffer for the truth? Our message is again unpopular. Our society is growing in its hostility towards Christ. There is going to be huge pressure to deny the gospel, that Christ alone is the Savior, that we all stand condemned in sin, that God is going to judge each one of us, and that we should live by the bonds that God has made, marriage for example. That message is going to get us in trouble. It might cost you friends. It might cost you certain jobs. It will cost us respect. It might cost more in the years ahead. Are you willing to stand for the truth of God's word? That's the challenge that Jeremiah gives to us. There are times when it's costly to stand for what is right. But the great hope we can offer to people today, whose lives are just breaking apart, as society's breaking apart, all these bonds are bursting. People who are cynical, that's 21st century people, cynical, don't trust anybody, who've been let down, who've had every promise broken to them. We can point them to a word that is true. To a word that will not break. To the word of God that is always true. You want to know how to help people today? Give them the word. Tell them the truth. And it's the truth that sets people free. We have a Lord who never breaks his word. As he says to Jeremiah, is not my word like a fire? Is it not like a hammer to break the rock? He's got a word that never breaks. Which brings us to the third big theme of Jeremiah. He sends Jeremiah to give a message of hope. The hope of a righteous branch who will never break. Is there good news in this grim message of Jeremiah? In all the judgment and condemnation? Any light? Well, the third sign I want to point you to is the sign of the property deed. The property deed. In chapter 32, Jeremiah is in prison. Babylon is invaded. They are at the walls of Jerusalem. And so this has to be like the darkest possible moment. And at this moment, God says to Jeremiah, I want you to buy a piece of land. It's a piece of land outside, and the army of Babylon is currently sitting right on top of it. And I want you to buy the title deed to that land. And all of that, it was an act of faith by Jeremiah as he buys this deed. It's written on a scroll and he puts it in a jar and he hides it away. And it's going to be there for 70 years. It was a sign of what God was promising to do. That God was going to restore them to the land. That God would bring them through and the people would be renewed and there was going to be a new hope and a new beginning. And again, I mean, it must have seemed impossible. The enemy at the gates. But God says, trust my promise. There's going to be hope and a new beginning. And this is the greatest part of Jeremiah's ministry. This message of hope. Chapters 29 to 33 are maybe the most important in the whole book. They're known as Jeremiah's Book of Comfort. And he writes down a book that's going to go into Babylon with the captives. And it's just full of all of God's promises. You ever want to be encouraged? Read those four chapters of Jeremiah. He promises he is still their God. So even though they've broken everything, God will not break his promise to be their God and save them. They've stretched it to breaking point, but he will not let go. He promises to save them. That amazingly, he still loves them. And he's still going to keep all his promises and save the world through them. And he promises a new covenant, a renewed covenant, a one that's better than the one that's broken. He promises new life out of death, forgiveness for all their sins. He promises they'll be rebuilt bigger and better than they ever were. Listen to chapter 32 and verse 37 onwards, for example. I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them. I will make them dwell in safety. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from doing them good. What's our message of hope? How great is God? A God who's willing to forgive and to save. A God who's willing to be faithful even to the faithless. A God who is incredibly merciful and gracious. And that's who God is today. And that's the great hope we have. How relevant is the Bible? Maybe you've lived your life breaking things. You've broken others. You've broken promises. You've had a broken relationship with God. You've got broken relationships with others. Your family's all broken. Maybe your heart's broken and you've got no hope. Here's an amazing God. So powerful, so loving, so true. He can heal and save you. This wonderful promise-keeping God. But how is God going to do this? How's God going to save? We come to the highest heights of Jeremiah. He's going to do it through a coming Savior, a special king who will redeem, and he's called the Branch. You see, David's family was the line of kings. They're the promised ones who are going to save the world. And it looks like that tree has been hacked back, doesn't it? Through the exile and through sin, it's been burned up and left for dead. And God says, actually, I'm going to make a new branch grow. A new king is coming. One who will do all that the kings were meant to do. One who will save. If you look, for example, at chapter 22, Jeremiah lists all the last kings of Judah. And they're a miserable bunch, every one of them. All failures. All sinful. And then in chapter 23, he speaks about the new branch, the coming king. The last, the greatest king who will save the earth. That passage you heard. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. That promise is so important, it's repeated again in chapter 33. And what Jeremiah is saying is that this is the source of hope for broken people, for a broken world. The Son, the King, the Savior. He's preaching the gospel. Who is he speaking about? He's speaking about our glorious Lord, Jesus Christ, who is there in every page and passage of scripture. It all culminates in him. He's the great hope. It's Jesus who can heal this brokenness. And what's so special about Jesus? Well, notice the key word that's repeated in the prophecy more than others. Righteousness. Jesus is righteous. He's the Lord, our righteousness. What does that mean? Well, what do guilty, broken, sinful people like you and I need if this judgment of God is coming when he's going to hold us to account? What do we offer to defend ourselves on that day? We've all broken promises. We've all broken others. We've all broken God's commandments. What do we have to defend ourselves? We have no righteousness. We have no goodness to earn his grace. But we have a wonderful Savior who's willing to stand before God for us. And he is righteous. The good news about Jesus is that he never broke anything. He never broke his promises. He never broke the commandments. He's the ultimate, true, perfect man. God the Son became a man in order to live this perfect life that none of us have. And has perfectly fulfilled what righteousness requires. A perfect life of love and goodness. And so when we now stand before the judgment of God, we can, if you like, hide and shelter in him. And he can stand before God as our righteousness. We can be forgiven. We can be accepted because he's good enough. And he earns the favor and grace of God. That's how broken people like us, with our broken relationship with God, can have a new standing, a new relationship with him. Because Jesus can be your righteousness. And that's the great change that takes place when you become a Christian. You come before God saying, I'm broken. And I cannot stand before you. Please, Jesus, be my Savior. And this is God's wonderful promise. He is the Lord, our righteousness. A Christian, no matter what they may have done in the past, you stand before God, forgiven and accepted. Clothed, as it were, with the righteousness of the Son of God. But we can go a little bit deeper. What is righteousness? Well, a large part of it that the scriptures would emphasize, often you find parallel statements making this point, is that the largest part of righteousness is faithfulness. Not breaking the bonds that you've made. You see, Jesus is the righteous branch who never breaks. And even when he went up to the cross, that's what he was doing. He was not breaking any of his promises. He was bound to God, he was bound to us to save us. And in his faithfulness, he upheld all that he promised to do, to be the Savior and the dying sacrifice that we would all need. And he's true, always true to what he's spoken. How relevant is the Bible? The crisis facing us today is, where do we find hope? Where do we find stability? If your family's broken or society's broken, if you're emotionally broken, if you're broken by your guilt and there's no one to rely on, you can turn to the Lord our righteousness. You can turn to Jesus, who will never break his promises, who will save you. And you can come to him this morning. And really, Jeremiah is giving you this call and this invitation to faith. Come and trust him. He has promised to save you to the uttermost, completely forever. Trust him. Give your heart to him this day. He will not break his promises. He's the righteous branch who will not break. So how relevant is the Bible? It exactly speaks to our brokenness, to the battle for truth, but it gives us real hope. Jesus Christ. Trust him today. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, I pray and ask that you would use my weak and feeble words to lead people to the truth. I pray that you would open their eyes today to see Jesus as our hope. If anyone is here, Lord, who is broken and has a broken relationship with you, please, Lord, will you draw them to Jesus today? Please, will your word enter their heart and speak to them and convict them and give them hope? We do thank you for our Savior. We confess that we are guilty and have nothing in ourselves to offer. But we thank you for him, that he is our righteousness before you. Please, Lord, teach us how to be faithful to the bonds that are upon us, and to follow our faithful Saviour's footsteps. In his name, amen.